witness this, the full melon effect. Kerunk! Which didn't come near the reality, of course. Just letters and syllables. Putting things into words was always a disappointment. Being there, though, getting so close to the subject you were sharing his final moment, the concrete petrol patched and gritty, the tyre smelling of, well, tyres, but also of everything else, of dog shit, blood and feathers, of the rain on the streets and stinking tar, of beer and chemicals and fistfights after closing time, and the wrong sort of music choking up the jukebox. Everything cascading at once, round and round. And your eyes on the subjects, and his on the tyre. So close he'd be breathing in the tread. Which was where evidence would be left, because no hose was going to clean that wheel. All that panic, the rat-trapped memories scuttling about, the fine detail stored in the brain's grey matter, it would all be crushed like salt, crammed into the criss-cross pattern of the rubber, and left there, so everyone would know what traitors get. The revving of an engine after midnight, and a close-up of their own misdeeds. They get that last second where they're thinking this can't be happening, and they keep right on thinking that until it happens. And then they get whatever comes next, hellfire or radiance, or just the endless silence on the wrong side of a closed door. Take your man Stephen Regan, little gobshite, due and nutting if anyone was, dobbing in names, scratching the wrong backs, never buying his round. Acted like a big man, but he squealed like a kitten at the last, crying for Jesus and shitting himself on the damn concrete. It had been a duty to turn that sack into landfill. Also, there'd been the matter of seeing what it looked like, this manner of dying. And what's life about, if not satisfying the itch? Though every itch came differently, which meant soon you were craving the next, which was Bernard Docherty. If Stephen had been a crybaby, Bernard had been all balls and no forgiveness. A roaring boy who'd gone to his maker with both fists clenched. Aye, Bernard had been special, which was why they'd been friends once, back in their youth, stealing cars together, the way they might have scrumped apples if they'd been different people, somewhere else. But it was all history now, either way. It hadn't felt like it at the time. At the time, he just did what needed doing. And when it was over, he carried on with life, which wasn't the life those around him thought he lived. This was the nature of covert operations. He walked a road no one had the slightest wee notion was there, and everyone was scared of him. Of course they were. But they hadn't a baldy who he really was. Didn't know the secret of how to be him. Which was this simple. Listen. It was this simple. All he needed was to know he had no limits. That was all. It wasn't the killing. It was the not caring afterwards. It was going home and sleeping dreamlessly and letting nothing put him off breakfast, and then heading out into the world, knowing men would do anything to avoid his eye and women leave the room rather than be alone with him. Though that happened too, of course. The more they didn't want it to, the more he made sure it did. For years he'd lived this way, and now it was over. The secret hours done and dusted. He lived a charmed life, because once you were part of the covert world, it had to keep you safe. That was the sacred bargain he'd made. Betray everything, and we'll take care of you. The joke was he'd never betrayed a thing. For that, you had to feel loyalty. But they'd kept him safe, because that was their job. Hid him away in the north of England with all the leeway in the world. There was food and drink on the table.